There are two ways of approaching any of these pathways. There's the antibody binding from the outside, and there are the small molecules that bind from the inside, and you usually bind at the ATP binding site. And while there are many oral EGFR blockers, TK inhibitors, I'm going to focus just on the antibodies in colorectal cancer. The antibody family now has three. Cetuximab led the way, an IgG1 antibody. And really, the clinical trial that you should know well at this point, done in Europe, because we blew it. We did this trial in the United States in a refractory patient population. 120 some odd patients were treated with CPT-11 and Erbitux who are already refractory to CPT-11, 23% response rate. We sent that to the FDA. The FDA said no. Martha went to jail. Sam Waxel went to jail. And the stock hit the floor. You know, another good example of U.S. drug development. And just like everything in the United States, we have to offshore what we do. And we offshored the clinical trial to Europe. David Cunningham led the way, and essentially the same design, but larger, now a 2-to-1 randomized trial, patients refractory to CPT-11, 60% had also seen oxaliplatin, randomized to either cetuximab with irinotecan versus cetuximab alone. And if one remembers back to the second-line response rate of FOLFOX, in Mace Rothenberg's study, that's a 9.8% response rate. In this clinical trial, which is technically a third-line trial, you'll see the response in a minute. So typical last-line patients, decent performance status, 63% had also seen oxaliplatin. And the results of this trial showed a dramatic 23% response rate for the combination in what is essence third line. And it is based on this data that the FDA approved the drug for use in the United States, Erbitux alone bringing in an 11% response rate. And there were a crossover allowed, but interestingly, none of those 54 patients responded if they had progressed on Erbitux alone, an interesting clinical phenomenon. Here's the problem. This is a disfiguring rash. It is an awkward thing. In cancer, we've learned to accept baldness as a cool sign. Oh, that person's on chemotherapy. They must be all right. And you root for them. Even our children no longer stare at the bald people with the turbans on in the grocery store line because it's just sort of a normal part of our society. But they're staring at these people. In fact, we feel like sometimes we should have an Erbitux waiting room in the clinic so that they can go off and be by themselves with their plague. And we've got to deal with this on a societal level. And while we're trying many things to try and dampen this rash, it is a class phenomenon. And of course, you want the rash. The more rash you get, it seems the more you're benefiting. So we do have to deal with this not just on an oncologic and medical level, but on a societal level as well. But not to be outdone, we come counterpunch with what we're now calling the Bond 2, where same refractory patient population, so now 90% of these patients had received oxaliplatin in addition to the CPT-11, and with the two antibodies, a 23% response rate, and with the two antibodies plus CPT-11, 38% response rate. That is a higher response rate than frontline IFL brought in just a few years ago. So I think this signal seen in Bond 2 is what has justified bringing forward both panitumumab and Erbitux to the frontline setting in the two large randomized trials that are going on today. Can you use cetuximab in the first line? Certainly we have phase 2 data that supports that. If combined with FOLFIRI, virtually everyone benefited either with a PR or stable disease. With FOLFOX, the reported response rate is as high as 82% in a small phase 2 study, and of course justifying bringing these drugs to the frontline and the adjuvant setting.